Name that tune. William Tell. Oh,
the music musicians here.
William, can you play it again, Angela, just one more time? William Tell Overture. Okay, what's the point of that? Well, if last week's birthday celebration wasn't enough to date myself, I'm now really going to date myself and some of you. What popular television show of the 1950s? The Lone Ranger. So just so we're all on the same page, for those of us that were sort of around in the 1950s, that was the iconic television show, The Lone Ranger, and it was said to be ABC's first real television hit. But in my research, I then found out that really each succeeding generation has come to know The Lone Ranger as just about every 20 years, there's been some sort of remake of it, either as a film or attempt at a TV series, but none of them caught on like that original. Now, just for those totally in the dark, The Lone Ranger was that series when the star was a masked man, the Black Mask. He went around on his horse, Silver. His Native American cohort was Tonto. Oh, good. The horse's name was Scout. Very good, Scout. And they were out doing good deeds and bringing justice to the wild frontier. But except for the television audience that maybe knew the background, throughout all the episodes, the masked man became a mystery as he and Tonto went out doing good, helping people in the world. And of course, every show ended with what? Hi-yo, Silver, away, off into the sunset. I'm seeing some of the younger folks looking like we're crazy, the folk that know this. Well, the point of all this, if that masked man was the star of the television story, then of course Jesus is the star of the Christian story. And if you think about it, the yearning to know Jesus, to know his true identity, to know the meaning of Jesus for our lives, have been at the heart of the Christian journey since the time when Jesus first walked on earth. For the centuries since his birth, his three-decade-long time on earth, people have struggled with all sorts of questions to try to unmask this mysterious man. Questions like, even, did he really exist? Or was his life, death, and resurrection particularly merely another example of fake news? How can we truly know him? How can his spirit live in us? What does his life mean for our lives? How can we get close to this mysterious man? And how can we truly let Jesus enter into our hearts? Well, today's scripture selections that Carol will read from the first letter of John go a long, long, long way to answer the questions how we can get close to Jesus, and how we can show our love for Jesus, and how we can have a personal and joy-filled relationship with him. And in the end, I think the answer to these questions are pretty simple.
For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Whoever does not love abides in death. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, Let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before Him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. All who obey His commandments abide in Him, and He abides in them. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit He has given us. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Here again these words from John the Evangelist. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? And this is His commandment, that we should love one another just as He has commanded us. All who obey His commandments abide in Him, and He abides in them. Out in the Middle West, there's a city with a rather prestigious church that runs a soup kitchen 5 days during the week. Pretty soon after it had gotten started, the people at the soup kitchen started to come to the Sunday morning worship services. And being a fairly wealthy and prestigious church in town, one of the deacons said, "Pastor, I think we need to have a separate service for those people. You know, they are, you know, dirty, a little different from us. So I think we ought to have a separate service each Sunday." The pastor replied, "I don't think so, because I believe everybody should have a chance to meet Jesus face to face." The deacon said, "I believe that too. I agree that they need to see Jesus, but can't we have a separate service for them?" I wasn't talking about them. I was talking about you. You need to see Jesus face to face. We all need to see Jesus face to face. And don't we all want to see Jesus face to face? Don't we all want to feel close to Jesus, who is the star of the Christian story? We all want to have a beautiful love for Jesus. But how do we do that? Honk if you love Jesus. Seen that bumper sticker? Honk if you love Jesus. Haven't seen it recently. I'm sure it's still around somewhere. Well, that bumper sticker is all well and good, but it's really another bumper sticker that I think gets at the heart of our Christian message. Do justice, love kindness, any fool can honk. St. Francis was certainly no fool, and he clearly had a heart for the Christian faith. The great saint of the 13th century is, of course, particularly, I think, remembered for his love of creation and the natural world and his love of animals. But as illustrated by this often forgotten story about this beloved saint, Francis should also be remembered for his love for Jesus. And once he had a very strange but memorable encounter with Jesus. Among all the awful miseries of Francis's world were lepers still existing in his society. And St. Francis had a natural horror disgust for lepers. And one day, as he was riding his horse near Assisi, he saw ahead a poor leper on the road. blocking the road for any further travel. Francis was sort of terrified, didn't know what to do, but he could hear these words ringing in his ears. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and refuses to help? So on an impulse, Francis got off his horse and went up to the leper. A part of the leper's face had been eaten away by that dreaded disease. Francis asked the leper to step aside, but the man just stood there silently. St. Francis gave him some money. The leper didn't move. Then Francis took off his cape and put it around the leper, and still the leper didn't move. Finally, Francis took the man's head into his hands and he kissed him on the lips. When he got back on his horse and looked down to say goodbye to the leper, the road was empty. The leper was nowhere to be found. And as St. Francis later wrote, he knew that deep in his heart, in that leper, he had met Jesus. Will Campbell, he was a Mississippi Baptist minister, civil rights activist, received death threats for his involvement in the civil rights movement. He also had a sense of what it means to truly meet and encounter Jesus, to know Jesus, and to truly love Jesus. And as a Baptist minister, Campbell was, of course, familiar with the practice at the end of a service of having a rousing altar call when people are invited to come down the center aisle and respond to Jesus' call, walking to the front of the church, falling to their knees, and then being prayed on. I think I've told the story, but it's worth retelling, that one Sunday, Will Campbell turned the idea of the altar call on its head. "I hope," Campbell said in a sermon, "that someday there will be an evangelistic service in which, when the preacher gives the invitation and people start coming down the aisle, he yells back at them, 'Don't come down the aisle. Go to Jesus. Don't come to me. Go to Jesus.'" And then with that declaration, the people who were coming down the aisle would suddenly turn around and get in their cars and drive away. And then the preacher would yell to the rest of the congregation, "Why are you hanging around here? Why don't you go to Jesus too? Why don't you all go to Jesus?" Then the people in mass would get up, leave the church, leave the parking lot empty. And then what Campbell imagines is that about a half hour later, the telephone at the police station would begin ringing off the hook. The voice at the other end would say, "We're down here at the old folks' home, and there's some crazy people at the door yelling that they want to come in and visit Jesus. And we keep telling them that Jesus isn't here. All we have here is a bunch of old ladies and old men who are all half dead. But the crowd outside keeps saying, 'But we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus.'" And then the next call to the police station is from the warden down at the prison. He's saying, "Send some cops down here. There's a bunch of nuts at the gate, and they're yelling and screaming, 'Let us in, let us in. We want to see Jesus. All we have here are a bunch of thieves, murderers, and rapists. But they keep yelling, 'Let us in to see Jesus.'" No sooner does the cop hang up, the call comes in again. This time it's the superintendent from the state hospital. He's complaining that there are a bunch of weird people outside begging to be let in. They too want to see Jesus. They keep telling us that Jesus is in there, I keep telling them Jesus isn't here. All we have here is a bunch of nuts. But they keep yelling at us, we want to see Jesus. Friends, if we want to see Jesus, yes, we can honk the horns of our cars, or better yet, we can do justice and love kindness. And as we all know, that's exactly what this church does day in, day out, week in, week out, as you heard during the moment of sharing. This congregation sees Jesus each and every day. Each and every day, this congregation is saying, we see Jesus in the children at Frederick School. We see Jesus in the youth of our own community who need a safe place at our fellowship hours. We see Jesus in the recipients of the lovingly knitted prayer shawls. We see Jesus in refugees and immigrants who are seeking a better and safer and more peaceful life for themselves and for their children. Yes, we see Jesus in those who rely on Mobile Food Share, the Bloomfield Backpack Project, and Hands on Hartford just to have enough to eat. Yes, and we see Jesus in the people who will worship and meet and be inspired next door at the Micah House and Chapel. We see Jesus in the members of this congregation who are the recipients of delicious homemade bread and soup and cards, cards that say, we love you. And finally, we see Jesus in the members and friends of this church who are sick, who are lonely, grieving, in any kind of despair, who are needing this church's abundant and amazing care and compassion. The abundant and amazing compassion of this beloved community. I invite you all now to listen as Lola and Chris give voice to God's word of hope for each of us. You will hear these words. You celebrate my glory in the beauty of the earth, in love that brings forgiveness, in the miracle of birth. You offer up your gratitude in worship and in prayer, but what I really want from you is willingness to share. When I was lost and lonely and wandering in despair, my greatest time of need was your one great hour to share.
You celebrate my glory in the beauty of the earth, in love that brings forgiveness, in the miracle of birth. You gratitude in worship and in prayer, but what I really want from you is willingness to share.
There are questions you can't answer that keep you up at night. Why evil strikes the innocent and the darkness hides the light. On the day when every eye can see, when all accounts are squared, questions you that matter most is, did they know you cared?
When the wind and the rain of the hurricane left me homeless on the street, did you give me clothes and shelter? Did you bring me food to eat? when the warlords came and I fled the flames, when they made me a refugee. Did you feed my racing heartbeat, hear my cries of agony? When the heat and the sand of this barren land left me struggling to survive, did you help me find clean water so my family could thrive? When I was lost and lonely and wandering in despair, my greatest time of need was your one great hour to share. My world, for all its beauty, can be an ugly place. Suffering comes and hopes and dreams vanish without trace. Though tragedy can bring on pain, simply can't erase. It gives each soul a chance to be an instrument of grace. When the wind and the rain of the hurricane left me homeless on the street, did you give me clothes and shelter? Did you bring me food to eat? When the warlords came and I fled the flames, when they made me a refugee, did you feel my racing heartbeat, hear my cries of agony? When the heat and the sand of this barren land left me struggling to survive, did you help me find clean water so my family could thrive? When I was lost and lonely and wandering in despair, my greatest time of need was your one great hour to share. My greatest time of